Hey guys, welcome to the show. Welcome to I See Things a Little Differently, and this is your Dynasty predictions. And just a heads up, on Monday, that Dynasty review is going to probably come later in the day, similar to how the WrestleMania review went. I think I ended up dropping it like at 9 or 10 o'clock that night, so you'll still get it. It'll just be later on. I will not be recording like another show to replace that. And actually, what ended up happening is, I like being honest with you guys, because a few people asked me, like Penelope asked me, and Jeremy asked me too, like, what happened, like, why did the show about kayfabe counters get, like, why was that a thing? Like, why did that get, like, pushed out late? You know, when I upload these shows, and I upload them early, I've done this before. It's been a while since I've done it, but I talked about this a while ago. But I have this, I'm dyslexic, and that's just a fact. And I will see a date and a number, and I will legit get them mixed up. And so what ended up happening was I ended up putting the date of, I think it was like May 11th or something like that. It was essentially for next month. So I'm going through the episodes, because a lot of times you guys catch that, well, how come this is episode 2 this and or 1 this? It's because I've uploaded so many episodes of the Wednesday show early. So, like, that's why you see the numbers kind of all hodgepodge. Sometimes the Monday show is probably the most consistent show because that's really recorded every week. You know, the Wednesday show is recorded sometimes months in advance. Like, I did, I recorded that 24 retrospective late last year, and it took me maybe about a couple months to do it, and I just uploaded all of it around December, and so that's why the numbers are the way they are. But no, that's why that show got pushed out late, because I accidentally hit the wrong date. But yeah, so there will be a Monday show. It'll just be a bit delayed. It's later that night, so it will be on Monday. It'll just be later. And it really also depends. Like, I know sometimes Spotify, when shows get uploaded, it takes them a while. But you can always follow the SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts. I know Google Podcasts has gone away. But I'm on every platform, Prime. So, like, those platforms always have the show up. Sometimes Spotify said it takes a little bit longer, but the review will be up. So, with that being said, before we get into the predictions, I do want to talk about some news and notes. Jon Moxley made his return to AEW. It's been a while since we've seen him on AEW proper. He's been really doing the New Japan circuit and other promotion circuits. He came back holding the New Japan World's Heavyweight Championship. And so I think it was Jeremy when he asked me, can I see Tony Khan ever letting a foreigner hold the AEW championship? I think that the story is right for sure. Like, to me, this is always, I don't think this is like a hot take or much of a mystery. This is clearly to make Shooter, his I won't say lackey, that's not true, his underling, not his lackey, not his minion, the wrestler he took under his wing, essentially his little pal. I've always assumed that he was going to put Shooter over, because if you actually look at his first run in Japan, I think this is before he even signed with AEW. He beat Shooter when Shooter was really, really young. He said, hey, this guy's the future of New Japan. If you guys remember that press conference he had afterwards, he like literally had the dead body of Shooter next to him. And he says, I'm going to take him under my wing. And he's been under his wing for the longest time. I always assumed this was a way to put over a younger talent and to have Moxley do it, because it makes sense because the story you started telling so many years ago. I've seen some people have a problem with it. I think it's good, personally, because now that New Japan, not only does, first of all, they should never change that New Japan title. It looks like a Divas title. But now your New Japan Heavyweight Championship is on one of the premier wrestlers in the industry. It opened the show for TBS. Like, not the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. That ended the show. But your title was the first thing people saw. You know? And so, I know people, and once again, I've said this before, Tony Khan can do a better job of doing video packages. One thing I would love is, and if I ever work for AEW, and I was telling this to JT off air before, I want to manifest it. I want to work for one of the two big companies in like a real creative role and give ideas like this. Like, you know what would have been cool is having, since you already have Wrestle Dream, which is really the shout out, or the shout out I forgot his name, the promoter, Inoki. Really what you could do is like have video packages of past New Japan champions, Okada, you know, all these people, and some people who even showed up for the company, you know, who are foreigners, who are former New Japan heavyweight champions, IWGP heavyweight champions, you know. You could show the history of it, and then you could have Moxley come out, and now he's a part of that legacy, that history. Though you have Okada signed, you have Ospreay signed. Those are two of the newest champions in history. You know, Tanahashi has performed in one of your main events. You know, you can have that happen. So it's one of those things that, to me, I feel like they could do a much better job of. But anyways, Moxley did come out. He challenged Will Hobbs. I'll say this. I don't mind the Blackpool Combat Club because they're just wrestling. They're just badasses. The Don Callis thing, the family, I don't get the point of it, honestly. None of them actually wrestle or actually win. And I'm not counting Ospreay. I see him as a satellite member. Fletcher never wins unless he's on ROH. Fletcher can go. We know this. But, like, we don't see him unless he's involved with someone else. But, it's whatever. Anyways, I can rant and vent about that all night. I won't. I'll spare you guys. But it was good to see that New Japan Heavyweight Championship get some limelight. And Moxley looks really proud of it. Like, I do believe that was one of his goals. I know we didn't get the list from him that we got from Cody Rhodes, right? But you could tell he's really proud to have that New Japan Heavyweight Championship. And so, for anyone who doesn't like it, I think it's just such a... I think it's easy to do Thursday morning booker, right? I just think it's a good idea. Like, your both products are not as high as WWE, but there's still good things going on in both companies. You know, they're about to have this pay-per-view in June, I believe in Long Island, where that title will be on the line and may even main event, you know. But this just proves that Jon Moxley is the most important signee in AEW. This dude has been an Iron Man, and he was very important to WWE. He was their Iron Man for years. So, you know, I like it personally, seeing him with the title. Like, he doesn't need a title, but it just adds to him being the ace and his importance to the company. Whenever he leaves or he retires, like, that's going to be a huge loss for AEW. Hopefully he's a lifer and he'll go back and get his Hall of Fame induction with the Shield and all that type of stuff. But hopefully he's a lifer and he will help Tony Khan out until the end of time, you know. But anyways, that was pretty cool. Also, congratulations to Cool Hand and Ruby Soho as she announced that she is pregnant. I didn't know they were, like, legitimately dating, but since I know that now, that's pretty dope. Congratulations. So that's always fun. She's one of my favorites, even if she wasn't being used in WWE. She was being used on Rampage and AEW. At least she was being used. So I'll take it where I can get it. But now we're not going to see her for a very long time. So just congratulations to the happy couple. They looked very happy about it, and that's really, 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 really dope. And last thing on the AEW front before we get to the Dynasty predictions is... I guess the best way I can put this is just wrapping up everything we saw last week. I still have not seen the footage. I really am not going to watch that footage. But after wrapping up last week, I know that there was a media call and Tony Khan answered a question about maybe bringing another booker in. He said he would be open to it in the future. I think if you bring someone in as a booker, let them book ROH first and see if they're doing something that you like, and then go from there. I like the direction a lot of these things are going personally, but people have to want to be invested. And here's my thing. With all the Stardom stuff going on, he does need to start announcing, because if you look at the Tony Storm, Mariah May stuff, all the kissing and stuff like that, people say, oh, his attitude there. No, I don't take it as that at all. how I actually take it is, personally, I take it as she's doing such a good job cosplaying Toni Storm that these women are now glorifying and loving her. So the underling is now becoming the megastar. You know, and I think that's what they're trying to do. I mean, just if you look at it, she's getting the attention. She's getting the push. You know, Toni Storm now has become a background player. She's not going to like that. You know? So, but that's just my take on that. I think if they stay focused on themselves and their product, which it shouldn't be hard to do. We don't need to take any more shots at WWE. Let them be. They're hot right now. Let them do their thing. You know, you guys just do your thing because there's so much good stuff happening here. We're going to get into that after a few more news and notes. But anyways, I just wanted to say that just to wrap up last week. Just hitting on some WWE news and notes as well, just because, like I said, there won't be a Monday show, so I want to talk about this. A lot of people have said Cody Rhodes, the new champion, has been on 3 shows. He's been cutting the same promo. Here's the problem with this spot after WrestleMania is it's always been a dead period. And I was thinking about this. The last time I can say for sure it was not like it didn't feel like a dead period after WrestleMania was on a couple of occasions. One, 96, when Shawn Michaels won the WWE Championship, the very next night on Raw, Diesel turns heel. And I'll never forget, I was watching Raw, huge Shawn Michaels fan, and I remember vividly seeing Diesel nail Shawn Michaels with the WWE Championship and Shawn Michaels do a 360. And I was like, no, but you're friends. I was like, what is going on? And that led to, I believe it was 2 straight pay-per-view matches. Or was it one? No, it was one. Because then Nash was to WWE there. After that, then it was Ultimate British Bulldog. So like that was something that happened like immediately after. And then another time was 2000. Because that was the first time a heel had ever won in the main event of WrestleMania. So, like, it happened because of several reasons. One, there was many, many changes to that main event card. If you listen to the lore and the history from Jericho and X-Pac, Jericho was actually supposed to be in the main event. It was supposed to be a Fatal 4-Way match, like it was. Elimination was supposed to be Big Show, Jericho, Rock, Triple H. And that match was going to be Big Show still getting eliminated first, Jericho getting eliminated second, and then Austin was going to come in and make the save, but Austin wasn't physically ready to come back at that time. So they had to push back that until April. So because they pushed that back, that led to then Triple H winning the match and retaining the WWE Championship. If you actually watch that main event, and I have such vivid memories of this particular WrestleMania, not because it was so great, but because I remember watching it and how flat everything felt that entire match. By Mick Foley coming out, getting his WrestleMania main event, and he missed a jump, and he had his hair cut. It was weird because he technically thought he was retired, then they called him to come back. It was all, the whole thing was actually pretty much a mess and pretty boring. Then you get the end of it where Rock does lay out Triple H, McMahon, and Stephanie hits a people's elbow, but it was such a flat finish, and it was very weird, but it was leading to the big pop the next month that Austin would get when he came in to help The Rock get the WWE Championship. So, really, because of that ending, they had to go right into Rock and Triple H singles match, which really should have been the main event of that year's WrestleMania, but I don't think there was one singles match on that card that year. If I'm not mistaken, that's the only WrestleMania to never have a single solid singles match on that card. There was tag team matches, there was freaking 24/7 madness, and ladder matches, but there was not a singles match on that card. And if you're counting the Cat versus Terry, I'm not we're not doing that. Anyways, so essentially this is how WrestleMania's been. It's been a dead period. Because essentially they have to get to the draft. And so now you have this pay-per-view in France, which is going to be a hot pay-per-view, is official now. Jey Uso will challenge Damian Priest for the World's Heavyweight Championship this week on Raw. I'm recording this on Thursday, so it's going to drop probably on Thursday. We're going to get AJ Styles probably defeating LA Knight, and it'll be AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes. So those are two matches that are going to be official for France that will be fire. But you have to get past this month period where you're really just trying to make sure that you still put on a show, but like you have 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown. It's hard to not have your champion on those shows and him do something. You know, I do think if they didn't have, and here's the problem. It's always smarter to have the draft after WrestleMania, because technically after WrestleMania is a complete reset. So that's smart, but it does cause this dip period. Now, to drum something up, I think you should actually have the draft the week after. So like WrestleMania is on Saturday and Sunday now, right? Have that Monday, have the Fallout, end all those stories on that Monday night, and then that Friday, or whatever day SmackDown ends up being on at the end of this year, that's when you start the draft. So now you're getting right into the new storylines. Now everyone knows where everyone is. You get a full year, not this 1 month of just filler until wherever. Now, we don't know how this deal with Netflix is going to be, because I'm curious, because I'm a Netflix subscriber. I've been a Netflix subscriber for many years. I go back to the DVD era where I was getting DVDs and I just forgot about it, and I just never got rid of it. Will it be commercials? I still have not seen any answers to these questions, but I don't think they actually know. But will there be commercials? Like, how does this work? Because if you do 3 straight hours, that's going to be rough to do. That's a complete format change, 100%. Will they be able to go over, over time if they need it? They shouldn't need it, you know? So many things to answer. But anyway, I don't think it's boring. I just think it's just what WWE's become. It's been like that for forever. You know, there's been very few hot, air quotes, no air quotes, case me doing air quotes, spots like right after WrestleMania. But those two come to mind because of the circumstances. Diesel was leaving, and McMahon was like, well, before you go, put over Taker and put over Shawn. He's like, yeah, cool, whatever. And, you know, so it was like, I think at the time Vince thought he was punishing Nash, and Nash was making was about to make so much money. He's like, bro, it's not that serious. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so yeah, I don't think it's boring. It's just the dead period, which is why it feels like it's boring, but I don't think it is. It's just, there's no substance, because we don't know. I'm assuming AJ Styles is going to get at least 2 main event pay-per-views out of this, you know? But outside of that, we don't know what his next real story is going to be. Speaking of Cody, by the way, he actually showed what was inside of his robe or his jacket, whatever you want to call it, WrestleMania. It was a picture of his father, Dusty Rhodes, and it said, "Hey, Pops, I finished the story." That was fire. Taker. He said that WrestleMania 40 gave him closure. When I heard that comment, I said, this guy is fucking nuts. Like, if you actually think about his last WrestleMania match, it was WrestleMania during COVID, so WrestleMania 37, right? Or WrestleMania 36, whatever the bleep it was. And legitimately, yeah, WrestleMania 36. And legitimately, if you look at that feud with him and AJ Styles, AJ Styles got absolutely nothing. This old man, air quotes, he beat up 3 people in their prime, tortured all of them. AJ Styles didn't get anything over on this guy. That was actually, even though AJ Styles, and you know, I'm happy AJ Styles got his WrestleMania main event, like, legitimately, Taker had a really good send-off. But I guess it's really a drug. I guess it really is. You know, and hopefully he does have closure, but like, dude, like, he had a really good send-off, you know, with one of the greatest to ever do it, putting him over. Like, if you think about what people have done for Taker, that seems like ungrateful, but just John Cena, and the biggest face this company has ever had for a sustained period of time, more than a decade. He literally took a squash match to WrestleMania. And it was his idea. Even though he took one of the worst non-boots of all time. That was John Cena's idea. Because he said, Undertaker deserved it. So he's just on the record as a loss just because. This dude, I guess it's really a drug for these guys. You know? I really do hope he has closure, though. And finally, and this is going to take more time. I just want to acknowledge this because when Vince had put up the rest of his stock for sale at TKO, everyone has been thinking, what is he up to? And then he had a conversation. Apparently, he had a meeting with The Rock and John Cena. This dude's got to start. This dude's trying to start his own wrestling company again. And he's trying to grab people away. He can't get Rock away. Rock's already probably signed away to TKO. That's how he got the rights to all of his name and likeness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to see how many people actually, if Vince McMahon does start a wrestling company. And like I said, this is going to take more to analyze when we get more. I just want to acknowledge this. If he does start a new wrestling promotion, I would love to see how many people would leave that. I see like Live Golf, right? For those of you guys who don't know what Live Golf is, that's a Saudi Arabia golfing company who has wooed a bunch of people away with so much money. Like one, I think it's Rory McIlroy. He was talking really bad about Live Golf. And I think they offered him like $850 million for 10 years. That's a lot. Dude, that's making you essentially a billionaire. And so there was this big meeting when Live Golf first came out and Tiger Woods held it. There was this big meeting where they were like, yo, we need to nip this in the bud. We got to stay united. And people were like, I hear you, dog, but you a billionaire. You know, when billionaires talk about we got to come together, it's kind of hard to hear them when you're not a billionaire yourself and when you can become a billionaire, you know. But I actually would like to see if he will be able to woo anyone away. You know, like, what's his name? The guy that got hurt at WrestleMania, tore his ACL, picking up both Usos. He had the guitar. Rick Boogs. He said when Vince got taken out of power, his push stopped. You know, like, there are people I'm sure that are still very loyal to Vince. Would Bruce Pritchard leave to go under Vince again? I am seriously curious about this, but until we get more details on if this is even it, this is just me speculating. But I just want to acknowledge it, though. Oh, and the last thing I want to say. So I thought about this. Let me just get this off my chest. Because I hear anyone else say this. When Tama Tonga and Solo were doing their damage they did last week, right? And Tama said, I don't know why I said, why did I say Tama? And when Tama was like, per orders of the tribal chief, and Solo just looked up, that to me, that was complete misdirection. I started thinking about that from a writer's perspective. I believe that The Rock is the new tribal chief, air quotes again, and that's why they're leaving it so ambiguous, but people aren't seeing it as ambiguous because they're just like, oh, he's talking about Solo, but they're not saying a name. Anytime Paul Heyman has said to Roman Reigns, or talked about Roman Reigns when he's not there, poor orders of the tribal chief Roman Reigns, he'll say his name. They have not said his name. I believe this is the long game. I know Rock has been pushing, reportedly, pushing for him and Cody to main event next year. I just don't think there's going to be any heat 2 years from now at WrestleMania 42 for a Roman Rock match. Like, I just don't see it. I don't think it's happening at SummerSlam, but maybe Survivor Series. Get a big number out of that. You have War Games going on as well. That's just my personal opinion, but yeah. But anyways, I wanted to say those things, get that out the way. Let's get to these Dynasty predictions. I'm actually looking forward to this pay-per-view. Look here, we have a lot of fire on here. And I can't imagine it being a bad show. Starting off is 10 matches. So this is going to be an all-nighter, baby. We have The Acclaimed versus Bullet Club Gold. All titles on the line. So the ROH Trios Championships on the line. The AEW Trios Championships on the line. I have Bullet Club Gold getting all the gold. This is where I think it was always heading to anyway. Was these titles being on the line and Bullet Club Gold getting them. And another six-man tag. We have Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. Wisdom will tell you that the House of Black has not won anything. They have not won a goddamn thing, right? And so it's you should be like, hey, this is going to be Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe, right? That's actually who I was gonna pick because they're gonna win. But I just chose House of Black because I'm hoping they get something. Let's be real. And I keep saying this, and I said this to freaking JT, excuse me. When I showed him my picture of Ricky Starks that I took, I was like, I had to get this man because Ricky Starks is definitely WWE bound. He said, you think so? I said, yeah, he's a Cody guy. He was at WrestleMania. Him and Dustin were in one of the skyboxes. Anyways, the House of Black, with the exception of probably Brody King, and even then I could see him going too. They're all WWE bound. they just are. I'm only picking House of Black, well, no, because I'm hoping. I'm trying to manifest it here that they actually get this win, because ever since they lost those Trios championships to the Acclaim, they ain't got shit. So, anyways, I chose them. Hook versus Chris Jericho in the FTW rules match for the FTW championship. I have Hook winning. Roderick Strong defending the international championship against Kyle O'Reilly. Speaking of this, per Fightful Select, Adam Cole is nowhere near close to returning. I actually was not expecting him to return until next year anyway. So that's not really a surprise, but I think people thought he was coming back sooner. Yeah, this whole thing's a disaster with this storyline. I don't think we're going to see him or MJF until much later in the year. But I have Roger Strong retaining here. Julia Hart versus Willow Nightingale for the TBS Championship. Look here. It's clear that TBS Championship is marked for Mercedes Moné Double or Nothing weekend. Julia Hart's going to win, but I'm also going to have... This is where the heel turn happens from Chris Statlander. I believe Statlander is going to turn heel at this pay-per-view, costing Willow this championship. Okada will defend the Continental Championship versus Pac. Continental rules means no interference, none of that allowed. I'm going with Okada to retain, but this should be a fire match. And a ladder match to determine who will be the first ever three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. I have the Young Bucks going over with the help of Jack Perry. Yes, the scapegoat himself will make his AEW return, costing FTR the championships. In the AEW Women's Championship match, god damn, there's a lot of title matches here. I just realized that. Toni Storm, timeless Toni Storm, will defend against Thunder Rosa, the woman who never actually lost her championship. Well, she's going to lose this match because timeless Toni Storm is going away. And I think the more, even though at first I thought Mariah May was not going to be ready for that spot, I think she's going to be the one to take that title off timeless Toni Storm. Or it's going to be Jamie Hayter whenever she returns. She's supposed to come back in February. We're now in April. So I don't know when that's going to happen for her, but there we go. Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson, dream match. Ospreay's going over, but this is going to be a hell of a war. I don't know where they're going to place this match, but whoever has to go on after it, good luck. And finally, the AEW World's Heavyweight Championships on the line. Samoa Joe, champion since December, will defend against Swerve Strickland. It's time. This is his time. It's time. As much as I loved Joe, and I'm happy he got this one last run, or he got this run as a champion again, a World Heavyweight Champion again, it's time now. It's Swerve's time. He will become the first ever African-American World's Heavyweight Champion in AEW history. I believe he'll be the sixth man to have the AEW World's Heavyweight Championship. Let's count them together. We have Chris Jericho. We have Jon Moxley. We have Kenny Omega. We have Hangman Adam Page. We have CM Punk. We have MJF. And Joe, no, he'll be the eighth man, excuse me, to win the championship. So I'm expecting a title change here. I'm expecting this to be the only title change, actually. But those are your predictions, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys enjoyed Dynasty. I will talk to you guys on Monday. Hope you guys enjoyed the Wednesday show as well. I am the Slow Chemical. This is I See Things a Little Differently. We're out.